This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
President Trump continues to push back, saying the 2020 election was rigged against him as his legal team continues to fight against election fraud. During an event at the White House Monday, he said the election was not only unfair to him, but to the American people.
We will not bend, we will not break, we will not yield. We will never give in, we will never give up, and we will never back down. We will never, ever surrender.
The president also called the election a disgrace to our country. It took barely a second. She rolled up her sleeve, and Britain's Margaret Keenan became on Tuesday the first person to receive the Pfizer vaccine shot outside of clinical trials, as the first mass immunization campaign in the United Kingdom begins. A rare Tuesday night football game tonight. The Dallas Cowboys will be in Baltimore and play the Ravens, 8.05 p.m. Eastern on Fox and the NFL Network. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
In October 1947, at Murat Desert Test Center in California, history is made by this aircraft, the XS-1, and its pilot, Captain Charles E. Yeager. This airplane and this pilot are about to be the first ever to fly faster than the speed of sound in level flight.
He was 97 years old when he died Monday in a Los Angeles hospital. Air Force officer, flying ace, and test pilot Chuck Yeager has passed on. Chuck's professional career is depicted in the movie The Right Stuff. Congress doesn't want to miss a paycheck. A stopgap funding measure that will avert a government shutdown and provide lawmakers more time to operate. Negotiations over the $1.4 trillion catch-all spending package are playing out alongside bipartisan efforts to pass a stimulus to failing Americans. Congressional leaders hope to attach the stimulus bill to the must-pass spending bill. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. We are USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The Pittsburgh Steelers suffered their first loss at the hands of the Washington football team 23-17 Monday night. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin.
I'll start by tipping my cap to Coach Rivera and the Washington football team, and they made the significant plays tonight, and we didn't, particularly in the second half. And I thought that was the difference in the game. You know, we were down in the red area twice, and we went for it on fourth down and didn't convert either. So possession down ball was heavy in this football game, and we paid the consequences of it, of failure in it, such as life in our game. I'm excited about facing the adversity of losing with this group, man, and smiling in the face of it and preparing and getting ready for our next challenge.
The Buffalo Bills beat up on the 49ers 34-24. 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan.
We got four more games that we can account for that we're in charge of, and we got to win all of them. I felt going into this game that I felt starting with the Rams, and I felt like this game was a playoff game for us. And then when you lose it, you just leave stuff up to other people. And I know with our team right now, the only thing that we can count on and control is making sure we win the rest of these. And that starts with Washington next week. We got a short week. I just want the guys to get back to this hotel. Don't plan on seeing any of them tomorrow. Coaches are going to get together, and we're going to get ready for Washington, have the guys rehab. They still left a lot out there tonight, physically and everything. So hopefully spend tomorrow right? And when they see us on Wednesday, we're coming ready to go versus Washington. I mean, it starts with the first game, but, you know, we got to win all these. So we got to focus on Washington and get that done and then look to the next week.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. James Sullivan joins us now. We're going to be talking about his new book, Unsinkable, Five Men and the Indomitable Run of the USS Plunkett. What an incredible story here, James. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Bill.
Well, a little background. He was born and raised in Quincy, Mass., graduated from Colby College, received an MFA from Iowa Writers' Workshop, where he was the teaching writing fellow, was awarded a James Mitchell Paul Engel Fellowship, lives with his family outside Portland, Maine. Boy, a beautiful part of the country. I always loved it when I had a chance to go out there and enjoy the area there, James. I got to tell you, you definitely live in God's country. You look up and you say, wow, I can't believe we live here. This is awesome.
It is. It's nice, although in the midst of a northeaster like the one we had days ago, you kind of think twice.
Yeah, you might think, well, this is the other part of heaven. You know, you get to, at least you're on earth anyway. This story, James, how did this come across the bow of your boat, Unsinkable? Tell us about that.
Well, the story really takes off from this story that my great-uncle Frank Gallagher used to tell right up until he died 8 years ago at the age of 99. Right before he went into Anzio, Frank was in the Army, he found out that his brother's ship, a U.S. Navy destroyer called the Plunkett, was in the harbor because they were going into Anzio as well. And he decided that he was going to have a reunion with his brother. So he jumped into a little boat down at the pier, and he went out and he had a reunion with his brother. I'll spare you the details on it, but Frank would tell that story over and over and over for years. And after he died, I just sort of picked up the baton.
Yeah. Well, what a special moment, though, to, you know, want to be with your brother and do that. You know, for those of us who have brothers, and especially, you know, here you are in dealing with combat, World War II, all that's going on, and to go ahead and be able to have this time with his brother, that's a story worth telling, regardless of what all took place.
That's right. You know, and they had met once more right before the invasion of Salerno. That was the invasion of the Italian mainland. Mm. And they were in North Africa at the time. And when Frank hit the beach in Salerno, it was red hot. In fact, they had German panzers right down into the sand on it. And he thought, you know, if Anzio's going to be anything like Salerno, I gotta see some family once more. So
exactly.
That was that story that just went on and on for years.
You know, James, when you hear these stories, and my father was a World War II veteran, was at the Battle of the Bulge with General Patton. He was a medic, and we got a little bit of the stories, but a lot of this generation was very quiet for their heroism. You know, right. we've had to look back in the rearview mirror a number of years to really pick up on some of these stories, to really appreciate the extraordinary courage that took place. And in a sense, you know, in today's America, you know, I remind people all the time here on this radio show that democracy, it doesn't require, but it demands courage. And right. This is what, you know, our fathers, our grandfathers, grandmothers, and family members endured for the sake of freedom, did they not?
Right, I think so. And you bring up a good point, Bill, about these guys didn't talk about it much. And I remember as a kid growing up in the 70s, you know, a half a dozen of these veterans, you know, great uncles and grandfathers would be in our backyard at a cookout, and they never talked about it. And I think partly, as I think a lot about this, I think it's partly because every guy on the street, you know, back in the day, you know, had signed up and gone off to do his duty. And so they thought that what they had done was ordinary. It's when we pull away from it now, I mean, we're losing them at the rate of 275 a day now, that we just realize how rare and extraordinary their stories were.
Well, you know, and here they come back to an America and assimilate back to some sense of normalcy after, you know, anywhere from 3, 4, 5 years of duty. This is before Korea, but yet they come back to their families and trying to, you know, pull everything back together. And then we go into the wild 60s and 70s. And, you know, you and I grew up during that period of time, and they're watching their children act all kinds of, you know, silly and ridiculous. And, you know, and I know with my father, he had a quiet contempt for how we were growing up and how we were being influenced by the culture at the time. And and I think that's the case for a lot of these, you know, these veterans who've been around and lived life. In fact, I find myself, even though I wasn't a World War II, I was a Vietnam era vet, that there is disdain for some of the silliness that's taking place, especially when it requires you know, something that violates our U.S. Constitution, like free speech and the invalidation of our fellow human beings.
Right, right. Well, you know, certainly everyone, we know that those were simpler times. And it is, you know, when we look back over our shoulders at that, there is something compelling and nostalgic about when we were all on the same page. And, yeah, I think there's a lot of yearning to get back to that.
Well, I don't know if we'll get back to it or, you know, what that will look like. But I keep thinking in terms of first principles that you're referring to here, is that we got to get back to those anchoring points that we grew up with. And yes, they can be considered in the modern era and be able to perceive them out of, you know, today's sense of vision. But nonetheless, those critical anchoring points need to be reestablished. This is as if we've let go of them and we're like a hot air balloon that's been pierced and we're kind of floating around in chaos right now.
Right. I mean, I think the recognition of virtues and values is something that we could put some time into these days.
But, well, thanks
for... I seem to take it for granted.
Yes. Well, thanks for allowing me to go down that road just a bit, but I want to get back to Unsinkable. You say it's more than a story of a single savage engagement. Unsinkable traces the individual journeys of five men on one ship from Casablanca in North Africa to Sicily and Salerno in Italy, and then on to Plunkett's defining moment at Anzio. Break that down for us.
Well, you know, I so often when we read stories about World War II, we read about these epic battles, and there's great history. I mean, so many people are writing great history, like James Hornfisher, who's done this great stuff about the Pacific, and Rick Atkinson, his Liberation trilogy is fantastic. And I always find myself when I'm reading some of that big history, I'm compelled by a character, and I really want to spend some time with them because character, at the end of the day, is at the heart of any story. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to do with Unsinkable was to take these five guys and get us really close to them. And so I began at Pearl Harbor pretty much and walked them right up through the war. They were in on all six invasions in North Africa and the European theater during the war. Plunkett was a little bit like the Forrest Gump of World War II. I mean, it was on the cover of Popular Science magazine in 1940, and mm-hmm. Patton was on the ship, and then it went into Omaha Beach with the film director John Ford. So I wanted to tell the story of those five men through all those invasions as the ship story played out on the stage of the Mediterranean.
Well, you got five incredibly brave men, the indomitable skipper, and we're not talking, you know, from some sort of sitcom series, but we're talking a real life skipper here who will receive the Navy Cross, the gunnery officer who bucks the captain every step of the way to Anzio, a first lieutenant.
Right.
who's desperate to get off the ship and into the Pacific, a 17-year-old water tender who's trying to hold on to his hometown girl against all odds, and another water tender who mans a 20-millimeter gun when under aerial assault. It is an incredible, dramatic story that is recounted in Unsinkable by James Sullivan, and we've got more after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
19 minutes after the top of the hour, welcome back. James Sullivan continues with us. We're talking about his new book, Unsinkable, Five Men and the Indomitable Run of the USS Plunkett. James, I want you to pick up the story here. What What a story, particularly on these five people that we get to spend time with and really get to know them, you know, in a personal sort of way. As you say, you experienced, and I did as well, where, you know, our parents, grandparents would be around people in the war and they would say little. It was almost this silent exchange and understanding, you know, a real special fraternity, wasn't it?
It was. In fact, the gunnery officer, Ken Brown, was interesting. Ken was 95 years old when I contacted him in 2016. And for a long time, he did not want to talk to me about his part in the role in Plunkett. He was happy to talk about the ship and everything that had happened, but he didn't want to in any way be singled out, you know, for anything that he had done. Well, as I got deeper into the story, I realized that, you know, Ken, as gunnery officer, was up in the ship's gun control fire director, which is in the highest part of the ship. Mm-hmm. He's this 23-year-old kid. He's got five other enlisted men with him. These are the guys that are coordinating the 5-inch gun battery as the Luftwaffe, as the bombers are coming down on them. Mm-hmm. And what he did was phenomenal. And at one point I said to him, Ken, I don't know how I can tell Plunkett's story if I can't.
Exactly.
I can't talk about what you did during the war. And I'll never forget, I was in my backyard one day, and he said, Jim, if you believe that my telling my story will help preserve the memory of my shipmates, and his voice about cracked when he said that word, shipmates, how much reverence and holiness there was for him in that word. And it's a rare thing, and it was a privilege to be exposed to that in someone like Ken.
What you think about Ken, he was in the crosshairs. I mean, he's in the number one position because they want to take him out, right? I mean, of all the targets, yes, well, let's get the ship out of there, but let's get this, you know, this gunnery guy. Let's get this gunnery officer off that position. And let's make sure he's out of the way to protect the rest of the aircraft coming in. Right.
That's right. And there were times, you know, in the midst of that 25-minute battle, which was an eternity, most action during World War II between the German bombers and Navy ships was just a couple of 3 minutes. So this was a sustained 25 minutes with a dozen planes circling overhead. Sometimes he'd pop his head up out of the hatch at the fire control director as if into a hive of bombers that are just coordinating, angling to try to get attacked. So it just, when I think of him as a 23-year-old kid,
amazing
and what he did, it's just a remarkable thing.
Yeah, you think about that. Let's talk about the first lieutenant.
Yeah, Jack Simpson from Atlanta. Just a fantastic man, you know, and one of the lucky things about Unsinkable or my coming into the story was that I met men, these three men who were just fantastic men on every level.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Simpson was, he had graduated from high school. He was working for his father's trucking company, going to night school. And he heard that, you know, he could get an officer's commission if he went up to Northwestern. So he drove his Harley from Atlanta to Chicago. And he went through, he became a 90-day wonder. And then he drove back. And then he went up to Boston and he joined the Plunkett. But Jack is a little bit like Mr. Roberts. Remember the movie?
Yes, right, exactly.
Yeah, he wanted to get to the Pacific. Well, Jack wanted to get to the Pacific. He was happy enough on Plunkett when Captain Miller was the captain. At that time, the Plunkett was a happy ship. But when Burke came on, he respected Burke and thought he was a fantastic wartime commander, but he still wanted to go to the Pacific. So that's Jack's story, and that's sort of driving his narrative all the way through Unsinkable.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible when you think about these men and their individual stories here. And then you also address, a water tender, 17-year-olds. What does a water tender do?
Well, a water tender is the old name for a boiler man in the Navy. And those guys would be mining the water that would feed the boilers that built the steam that drove the engine. And so Jim was a 17-year-old kid in the spring of 1942. And he was working at a five and dime in a small town outside St. Louis. And Jim said, you know, everybody was going. He said it was like down the main street of my town. Everybody, every day, somebody else was gone. And he said, I just sort of stepped out into the stream and I was swept.
Got carried away. That's exactly.
He got carried away.
Yeah.
He had this romance started with this beautiful young girl, and he was determined to try to keep that for the war, and there were all kinds of challenges. So his story's a little bit different and interesting.
Was he able to hold on to the girl?
He did, against some pretty interesting odds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things, too, Jim is in fact, he's the only one of the five men still with us. And he's doing well and driving on his own. One day I was visiting him in St. Louis, and he showed me a box of letters. He had literally 300 letters between he and his wife exchanged during the war. It was a gold mine from a historian's perspective.
James, what is that like for you? I mean, to be able to go and meet with somebody like this that experienced war that, I mean, after it's all said and done, I mean, certainly you had a higher percentage of Americans being in combat in World War II. Today, it's probably less than 1%. And I think that says something about our inability to understand what war is all about, why it's so hideous, and why we want to do passionately so much to stay out of war. But, you know, as the Bible would say, you know, there is a time for war and a time for peace. And when there's a time for war, you gotta let it go. You gotta understand that that's the order of the day. And certainly that's what this generation did in large numbers. And the response, like you said, was, you know, somewhat typical in cities where people, you know, young men were marching, and some women as well were marching off to war. And the guys on the sideline watching that and thought, hey, look, I can't just stand by. I've got to get into the fray myself, right? It was a time of patriotism, a love for country. And, you know, and this really, I mean, when you think about the odds that were against this country, I mean, we're fighting a Pacific and European war. I mean, two wars at the same time. I mean, this is incredible. And the fact that America would come out standing the way in which it did is nothing short of a miracle, in my estimation.
That's right. I think we're looking at the most cataclysmic event of the 20th century, if not of all time. You know, I mean, when you think about the impact this thing had around the world. And, you know, during the writing of this, I was rereading Homer, of all writers, and I was reading the Iliad. And I thought, you know, what we went through in World War II, I mean, back in the Trojan days, that was for the love of a woman, right? But what we went through was just so much, on so much a grander scale. It was more Homeric than Homer. And I think in 1,000 years or 2,000 years, I mean, people will still be talking about World War II.
But sadly, what happens is what gets lost in translation. Why some football players do not understand why veterans and people who love this country so much have such a very hallowed and holy respect for our flag and all that it represents.
Yeah, and, you know, you asked earlier, Bill, you know, speaking to these men, it was almost, the experience was sometimes as if a statue had opened his mouth to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sound sentimental, but, you know, they're old men.
Yes.
And they have these memories, and they're good men. And when I think of what they went through, that Homeric scale of it, it's just an amazing privilege to be exposed to that. You know, it'll be something I'll tell my grandchildren about, and they'll tell their grandchildren, you know.
Interesting.
That proximity is.
Yeah. Exactly. Interesting you should say that, because that was my thought, was that this is a privilege, you know, what you're passing on, and what is chronicled in Unsinkable is the chance to meet these five men and really get to know them in a personal way that I can tell you, and you could share it, and I'm sure other people the same way whose parents experienced, you know, combat that were involved in World War II, you know, stories that we didn't hear. But this is why we hang on to stories like this, because it gives us some understanding of our parents. Because I can say this about my dad. I don't know that I ever met such a humble man. My father was inordinately humble. And in understanding what these other men have gone through and what you shared with me, it just reinforces all the more that World War II had this this incredible effect of humility upon the men who experienced and survived. James Sullivan has been our guest. His book, Unsinkable, Five Men and the Indomitable Run of the USS Plunkett. The book will be linked on our website, available at all the usual places. Thank you, James. Appreciate the time. Take care.
If you're a small business owner and you need to transform your business into the new virtual economy, hire the experts at GetCallers. For as little as $5 per hour, you can add as many virtual staff members you want to your company. They can make cold calls to generate leads, handle inbound calls, set appointments, customer support, live chat, and more. The best part is you have no expenses of computers or telecom minutes. No employee headaches. No contracts. No W-2s. Just a turnkey process for you at a fixed price that you can add as many virtual members to your team as you want. In today's economy, hire the professionals that know the virtual workspace. Call right now and learn how to add a virtual member to your team for just $5 an hour. Call GetCallers now.
800-750-3564. 800-750-3564. 800-750-3564. That's 800-750-3564.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Trump continues to push back, saying the 2020 election was rigged against him as his legal team continues to fight against election fraud. During an event at the White House Monday, he said the election was not only unfair to him, but to the American people.
We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. And we will never back down. We will never, ever surrender.
The president also called the election a disgrace to our country. It took barely a second. She rolled up her sleeve, and Britain's Margaret Keenan became on Tuesday the first person to receive the Pfizer vaccine shot outside of clinical trials, as the first mass immunization campaign in the United Kingdom begins. A rare Tuesday night football game tonight. The Dallas Cowboys will be in Baltimore and play the Ravens, 8.05 p.m. Eastern on Fox and the NFL Network. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
The country, on your smartphone, and around the world. You tune in to Bill Martinez
live. Back with America, Bill Martinez here, and guess what? Hey, we've got America's Money Answers Man right when we need him, Jordan Goodman. Jordan, how you doing, buddy?
Great to be with you, Bill.
Wow. How much excitement can we handle? In the midst of a contentious 2020 election, we still don't have a president elected for sure and certified, and the rest of us are becoming certifiable.
Well, that's true. It's been very difficult, but I mean, I think it's pretty clear that we're going to have electoral college vote. I think it's December 14th, and after that it's going to be pretty much decided. So Biden is going ahead, putting his economic team together. I think the most significant one was having Janet Yellen be the Treasury Secretary. Mm-hmm. First time ever a person has been Treasury Secretary, Chairman of the Federal Reserve, and head of the Council of Economic Advisors. So she got the trifecta.
Yes.
And she's got quite an economy to recover here because, meanwhile, there's a lot of progress, potential promise of the vaccines, but out here in the real world, things are deteriorating pretty fast as the virus has just gone wild and governors are shutting down states all over the place. Mm-hmm. Small businesses are going under. People are getting evicted and foreclosed in their homes. At the end of December, a lot of the programs disappear. And there really is a need for some kind of a stimulus program. But,
well, without a doubt. And I want to talk more about that, but just a moment here. Let's go back and talk about vaccines.
Yeah.
The antithetical voices out there, as Zig Ziglar would call them, the stinking thinking and stinking talking people. about the vaccines. I mean, you know, you go back in May, 72% of America said, hey, vaccine, I'm on it. I'll be all over it. Then you got all this negative stuff. And, of course, you know, filtered through the I hate Trump filter.
Yeah.
September, the number went from 72 to 51%. Now, the most recent, only 40% of America says, I'll be in line for a vaccine. And according to the so-called scientists, we need at least 50% to participate in order to affect a herd immunity,
right,
and be protected. So all this stinking thinking, the talk, I mean, even, you know, Kamala Harris during the debate with Mike Pence, and Mike Pence called her on it and said, how dare you? How dare you misserve the people by talking so negatively about this vaccine that you know so little about? You haven't been involved with the Operation Warp Speed, and,
right,
and you're just being a contrarian here, and you are giving people, you know, the wrong impression about this. This wasn't a vaccine that was designed just for people that love Donald Trump and the rest of the people they all with you, right?
This has been the most amazing development maybe in science history, to have a vaccine from ground zero to being released within roughly 9 months or something,
exactly,
like that. I mean, typically, a typical vaccine at best, mm-hmm, is 4 or 5 years, and often 10 years or longer.
Right.
And it's not only one. We've got Pfizer. It's actually been approved to be used in the United Kingdom now. We've got Moderna. We've got Regeneron. We've got several Pfizer's. I mean, it's just amazing that these people have been able to do something, and I think it's going to be effective. So I think at first people may be a little bit cautious about it, but right, the alternative of getting the virus and dying, I think, is enough of an incentive to get people to use it.
Well,
it's going to start off with the healthcare workers, the emergency workers, and then it'll be more broadly
done. And as it should. But again, I want to caution this idea. You know, we initially, when we were impacted by COVID, it was an immediate death sentence. It was like,
right,
like
it's AIDS. Gotten a lot better.
Anybody got AIDS, right, they were going to die. You know, everybody's,
right,
going to die.
Well,
Magic Johnson's going to die. Well, he didn't die. He's still alive. But, you know, so it's run the whole gamut. A dear friend of mine, I shared with our audience before, he and his wife got COVID. So he goes in, he gets tested, okay, you're positive. He goes, okay, well, where's, do I get Regeneron, Remdesivir?
Do I get with the president? Yeah.
Remdesivir, well, you know, what do I get? Hydroxychloroquine? And the doctor says, no, you just go home, drink plenty of fluids, take a couple aspirins, and you know, you're going to be okay. He goes, I got the flu. This is the flu. What are you talking about? I mean, you know, you told me to take everything except Theraflu. And but here, you know, we're thinking, okay, if
we've had almost 13 million cases and about 260,000 have died. So, you know, the death rate is maybe 2%, but that's still 260,000 people is a lot of people having died.
Well, we got 350 million people here in,
right,
America. So,
but it shut down the economy because of the fear of it. That's what's happened.
Exactly. You know. See, this whole fear axiom, you know, false evidence appearing real. I mean, we have really jumped the shark in so many ways on this, Jordan.
Yeah.
And what we have done in terms of costing lives, and here we are, we're just talking about a COVID relief stimulus. We got money sitting there. It looks like we had a bipartisan agreement. McConnell says he's not for it. President Trump says, look it, I'm for it. We need to make this thing happen. And it seems like the Democrats want to drag their heels at the expense of hurting Americans.
Right. Well, they want a much bigger package than the Republicans are willing to do. So as a result, we may get nothing. I mean, we had a package, the CARES Act, in March and April. We haven't had anything since.
Right.
And the economy, all the economists definitely say we need some kind of stimulus. Fed Chair Powell says we need a stimulus. Mnuchin, everybody says we need a stimulus, but they just have not been able to get their act together. Meanwhile, people are getting hurt.
And they got money sitting there right now.
Correct.
They got, what, $500 billion that hasn't gone out the door.
Correct.
So give me a break. What's going on?
Bureaucracy, I think, is the best word. It just takes a lot. I mean, the PPP program has been very difficult for businesses to go through it and get approved and all that. The unemployment benefits, you know, got cut at the end of July. So it's hard to get things through the government and get them out there in a very efficient way. Hopefully the next time we'll be better. I think Biden, when he gets in, depends what happens in the Senate as to whether he has the Senate control or not.
Mm-hmm.
If he does not, I don't think it's going to be as big a stimulus program. If he does, it'll be maybe $3 or $4 trillion. It's going to be a monster.
Kind of. Oh, yeah. It'll be a monster, and we'll be healing the states, and, you know, all the Democratic states will be happy because it'll be money that will heal all their problems and take care of all their deals. Yes.
I mean, it's a problem out there. And you're already seeing municipal and state-level government workers being laid off. Tax revenues have just plummeted.
Yes.
I think a longer-term situation, Bill, from all this is what's going to happen to the cities.
Yes.
Because the cities are emptying out as we've never seen before.
What's long-term. New York going to do? New York's losing its people. They're moving out. I mean, they're coming down to Florida.
The rich ones are moving out.
Every other person I run into, I'm from New York. Of course you are.
Right. No, that's true. People are leaving high tax, high crime, high COVID states.
Yes.
And going to lower crime, lower tax, lower COVID states when you get down to it. And that is, you're right. How is New York City going to survive? But also all the other major cities, Atlanta, Boston, Los Angeles, Chicago, mm-hmm. San Francisco, you name them, mm-hmm. people are leaving for the suburbs or more rural areas. In a long-term way, I think there's been over 500,000 people with permanent changes of address leaving New York City in the last 6 months.
So
and they're all the rich ones.
So let me ask you, should stimulus relief heal them for their poor management?
It's not going to be enough. I mean, as you know, I'm in the New York area.
Yes.
The MTA, that does the subways, the buses, mm-hmm. and the trains,
right.
is asking for a $12 billion bailout just itself.
Yes.
Just for the MTA. They're not going to get it. Okay. And a lot of other people that think they should get it are not going to get it.
Right.
So this is going to be a lot of pain because people who wanted money, they think the federal government should always bail them out, are not going to get it.
So and then meanwhile, like in New York, when you want to defund police and redirect some money, that's not going to help the cause because...
that's why crime is up so much.
Yeah, I'm going to say the natives are getting restless.
Well, they did of a $6 billion budget, they cut $1 billion from the New York City Police Department. And you've got looting and you've got crime all over the place. This is what happens when you defund the police. And,
great
investment. And that's one of the reasons why people are leaving the city.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Cuomo's happy. He got an award. He's got an Emmy.
He got an Emmy. That's all that counts. Yes. Never mind that your cities are cratering in front of your eyes.
And
so it's a very unusual situation. And while all this is happening, Bill, the stock market is soaring. The Dow hit 30,000.
You're reading my mind. Yes, stock market. Yeah.
Well, Bitcoin is soaring up to almost 20,000. So they're all hoping that things are going to get better with the virus, vaccine, and the stimulus program. This is on Wall Street what they call hopium. You've heard of opium, but this is hopium.
Okay? Yes, exactly. I love
it. The new drug.
Yeah. What about gold and silver?
Gold's been going down lately. Mm-hmm. Gold got over to about 2,000. Now it's about 1,700. I think Bitcoin has become the new gold.
Really?
Actually, yeah. Uh-huh. People that in the past would have done gold are now doing Bitcoin. Bitcoin is going to be used. PayPal is going to allow transactions in Bitcoin, for example. That's about 350 million merchants.
Wow.
So Bitcoin is, I think, where the action is these days. It's going to go higher.
He's America's Money Answers man, Jordan Goodman. Jordan, how can they be in touch with you?
MoneyAnswers.com is my website. I get emails from folks all the time, and I'm always glad to help them, Bill.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
The Tide Ministry is partnering with Child Evangelism Fellowship to broadcast their Good News Club program into the Muslim and Arab countries of the Middle East. The goal is to capture the attention of children through televised puppet shows. The puppets engage in drama and animated conversations that cover the apologetics of Christianity and explain the truth about Jesus in their own language without attacking other faiths.
This enables children throughout the Middle East to hear of God's love and learn the basics of the Christian faith in a format that engages their attention. Ultimately, the Tide Ministry and CEF hope to lead children into meaningful relationships with Christ and guide them to be witnesses in their communities.
To learn more about the Tide Global Radio Ministry and this initiative to help children throughout the Middle East learn the truth about Jesus, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with DeRoy Murdoch continues, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online. DeRoy, you know, with all this is going on, and here we've got a special election coming up January 5th in Georgia, and I don't hear any remedy. I mean, are they going to still use the same software that created all this havoc, the same Dominion hardware, this computer system, in order to do this special election? I mean, if nothing changes, how can we expect anything different?
Yeah, I'm very concerned about something I heard a couple days ago, which is Stacey Abrams, the so-called, quote, governor, unquote, of Georgia, this woman who lost by, I think, 100,000 votes, and she's still running around saying that she had the election stolen from her. There's no indication that she did anything other than lose the election. Anyway, she's kept herself very busy, and she apparently has managed to get a bunch of people registered, and also I believe they're up to something like 900,000.
Is it 900? I heard over 600,000, but yeah, somewhere between that and that. How does that happen?
Here we go again, you know, and look, they don't need to have all 600,000, all 900,000 of them go sideways, if you will. You know, you could have some of these races may come down to 5,000 votes or 10,000 votes or 2,000 votes. Mm-hmm. There was a woman in, I believe, Iowa. She won a House seat by 6 votes.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Right. So these could be very close races. It could be that it all comes down to a handful of fraudulent mail-in ballots that end up putting Chuck Schumer into the U.S. Senate Majority Leader's position. And if, unfortunately, Joe Biden prevails and is the president and we have Nancy Pelosi as Speaker, this country's going to go farther left than anybody can imagine. I mean, it's going to be the point where we look at a guy like Bernie Sanders and we think of him as a moderate compared to some of these other people in the Democratic Party. So if I were Governor Brian Kemp, who last I checked was Republican, I would call the legislature in, call a special session, and say, all right, boys and girls, we need to clean up this mess and get rid of this nonsense and have a clean election for the two U.S. Senate runoff seats. And I think if there is a clean election, the Republicans, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, will win, and let's hope they do, because if they don't, the consequences are terrifying. Should be for anybody who believes in freedom and fiscal restraint and limited government. And if we don't do that, if Governor Brian Kemp doesn't show some leadership, which is why I assume people elected him in the first place, we could end up with just another rerun of what we've been seeing in Georgia up until now, all over again on January 5th, January 5th, with tremendously dire and terribly negative consequences for our country.
Without a doubt, and again, getting back to your earlier point about Tracy Abrams, that's been my big question. How does she have, I mean, is she ballot harvesting herself out of her own home or something, or what's going on here?
I don't know if she personally is doing it all, but the Democrats have been working very hard on this. They're promoting or advocating for people to move to Georgia specifically for the purpose of voting in the election. That's
illegal.
Now, it is illegal. I'll say it's got to be very hard to prove, because someone might say, yeah, I moved to Georgia because I love Atlanta, I love the weather and the cuisine, and then these people vote for Senate, vote Democrat, and the next day say, you know what, I kind of really like it better in New York or Connecticut or Massachusetts or Illinois or what have you, and then move right back. And again, you might be able to get 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people to do this, and that might be all it takes.
Right.
So this is very serious stuff. I don't think this can be cleaned up completely enough or quickly enough for anyone's comfort. I really hope that the Republicans down there, you know, get off their duffs and get busy and get this thing under control, or we're going to find ourselves in really, really bad shape in about a month or so.
Well, I think it starts with a perception. If your perception is voter fraud doesn't exist, then you've opened the gate. But if you appreciate that it does exist, it's quite obvious, and you become vigilant at all levels, whether it is the everyday voter or the states that come in and say, look, we're going to make sure that, somebody's not sitting there bragging about holding 900,000 votes, or like the character there in Minnesota in Ilhan Omar's district saying, well, you know, I've got a car full of ballots here, and it's like, you know, you saw this interview with James O'Keefe and Veritas, and he exposes them, but you don't hear any follow-up. I didn't hear that this guy ever got arrested, or, you know, he just had all these ballots that he had harvested, which, oh, by the way, was illegal.
We unfortunately treat vote fraud in this country is sort of a white-collar crime, if that. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, oh, it's kind of cute and it's colorful. Like, you know, we have all these jokes about these cemeteries voting in Chicago. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't that hilarious? It's all part of America's political culture. No, this is not cute. It's not funny. It's not a punchline. It's really, really nasty stuff. Mm-hmm. And the notion that, well, it's only a problem when it's widespread. You know, if you went to the doctor and he said, I won't pick on you, Bill, but somebody goes to the doctor and the doctor tells the patient, well, you've got, we notice a spot on your lung and we need to go in and get it. And the patient says, well, it's not widespread. Just leave it. No, you go after it and the thing gets worse. And the idea that we can allow a little bit of vote fraud and that's okay because it's not widespread. Well, great. Then next time it gets more widespread and worse, and we've been ignoring this problem for decades. And I think what might have been a mild case of, shall we say, political cancer has grown into something approaching a terminal case this year.
Oh, it's metastasized.
Metastasized like crazy, because we won't take it seriously and we kind of laugh it off. And it's not funny. It's very serious, and it needs to be stamped out, just like a few, 2 or 3 or 4 cancer cells before they turn into something that ends up putting you into a box for the rest of your life.
Yeah, my buddy, the attorney Ed Pizzoli, who was in Chicago politics for many years and worked on elections, and he'd say, you know, kind of kiddingly, but he, you know, was honest. They would say there in the Democratic strongholds, you know, they say, well, the election's over. They go, oh, no, we don't have the cemetery vote yet. Well, people would laugh about that, but that was all very routine and casual. But like you said, one begets the next until, you know, here you are going through all this hysteria that we're in right now, and the people are suffering over this. I mean, this is brain damaging. I mean, you know, DeRoy, people are losing friends and family members over this argument, and it wasn't anything that they perpetrated. It was the doggone Democrats and the machine that did this to us, and now we're really at each other's throats as if we weren't already.
No, this is right. I mean, it is divisive, certainly, and look, I mean, I think if Biden prevails and he ends up getting sworn in next January 20th, if it's a clean election, we all say, well, you know what, he beat us fair and square.
Right.
You know, people like you and me will grind our molars, we'll get on with it. But if we think that this was stolen and that we had dead people voting, we had people under 18 voting, we had pallets of ballots being moved across state lines. Other ballots coming into Wayne County in Detroit at 4:30 in the morning, coming out of cars with out-of-state license plates in trash cans and garbage bags. You hear that sort of thing and you think, well, he's not my president. This was stolen. And boy, you want to find a way to create national disharmony and national disunion and a nice big ongoing division in our country. And let 74 million people who voted for Donald J. Trump not believe they lost fair and square, but they had it stolen from them. That's a really good way to have a big chunk of the country enraged at another big chunk of the country. That's not good for the United States of America.
That's huge disenfranchisement. I want to talk to you about your column that you wrote about Barack and Michelle Obama's breathtaking ingratitude. He's on his book tour, and boy, I'll tell you, I have a tough time personally watching some of the interviews.
He's not growing on you in his old age, is he?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I find every time Obama opens his mouth, he's supposed to be the great healing voice of Obama. It's really quite acrimonious and divisive. And what bothers me most about these various comments he's made about Michelle Obama talking about people who voted for Trump or backing hatred and division, and Obama making similar comments about white men lining up to vote for Trump and all that.
Well, he put down Hispanics. I mean, it's like, wait,
that's right.
Stop. Let's put down
Hispanic. Yeah. So that Hispanics voted for Trump because Trump shares their views on gay marriage. Well, very interesting. I looked at a survey done by in October, very recent survey. 68% of Hispanic Protestants support gay marriage. And guess what? 78% of Hispanic Catholics support gay marriage. Mm-hmm. So Obama is completely wrong. He's pulling these talk about conspiracy theories and myths out of thin air, attacking Hispanics for beliefs that they do not hold, and trying to attach them to Trump, who's actually also, by the way, pro-gay marriage. So that's a total lie. But what most bothers me about the comments and behavior of the Obamas is they act like this is apartheid South Africa, and we're just driven by racial strife. Did I miss something, or were they elected in 2008 comfortably?
I thought they were.
63% of the vote, and right. I believe in 2012, 51% of the vote. They won comfortably both times. Not just black people. A lot of white people voted for Obama in 2008 and 2012. Mm-hmm. She was the first lady for 8 years. And as of right now, the YouGov poll has Obama and his wife as the number one most popular Americans in the country and the most popular man and woman on the planet Earth. So I think rather than attack this country as this racist stronghold, they ought to say thank you. Thank you for electing us in 2008. Thank you for reelecting us in 2012. Thank you for keeping us so close to your hearts. Thank you for buying our books like crazy. Obama sold 1.7 million copies of his book in the first week. Michelle Obama sold 10 million copies of her book. It's doing so well in hardback that they have yet to release a paperback edition because sales have not slowed down sufficiently to merit that. They ought to be the most grateful, thankful people in the country, and instead they're the biggest ingrates in the United States of America. Shame on them.
Yeah, and it's sad because I believe, and maybe you see the same thing, DeRoy, they could have been catalysts, positive catalysts for racial healing that could have been phenomenal. And sadly, they just weren't up for the job. And it's hard, you know, when you are, you know, you have such a skewed perspective as they do. And I'm sad for them because I think it's a lost opportunity for them, their family, and for America.
No doubt. And I know a lot of Republicans, including some fairly conservative Republicans, who, given the choice between McCain and Obama in 2008, voted for Obama. And the thought was, well, look, he's not going to be great on economics and whatnot, but at least we'll get the racial, bury the racial hatchet.
Hatchet.
That's a mouthful.
Yes. Right.
and get all that behind us. And guess what? The hatchet's now right in our foreheads, and not behind us, it's in front of us.
Well, we got to leave it right there. DeRoy Murdoch, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online. DeRoy, as always, appreciate the time. Take care. Be well.
Bill, great to be with you. Take care.
Again.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry.
I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No matter.